Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Nothing Catchy Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dewey, a.k.a. New League Name, which we'll reveal a little bit later. I hope everybody had a great summer, great offseason. It's been good, man. I am so excited for football. I want this to happen. I wish today was, well, today's Sunday, September 3, and we just had our draft, and I was hoping there'd be football today to watch, but sadly, there is not. So what I wanted to do, since we just completed the draft, the league has started, brand new league, pretty much welcome in everybody. Last year, we had a small league, eight-team league. We have ballooned up to a 12-team league. That is awesome. I am so excited, way more competitive. So hopefully this year there'll be a lot more drama that we can talk about and discuss as the year goes on. And not one person is just rolling. Also, it'll be kind of fun because with a 12-team league, there's bound to be like injuries that happen, and you know, we're going to have to do some intense trading. I predict there's going to be at least one trade. There has to be at least one trade. Last year we had zero, so one will be in the movie in the right direction. So, yeah, let's go over real quick the people who are in the league. I don't know everybody's names, so if you're wanting your name to be shouted out in this fantasy football podcast and stuff, I'm going to do my best to try to remember everybody's name. But if I don't remember you, I'm just going to go by what your team name is. So if you have your team name up there, if you're planning to change it sometime soon, please go ahead and do that. And maybe within by episode two or three, everybody's name will probably have stuck and we can kind of go from there. So we like I said, we had a 12-team league. I'll go through and name off all the different leagues and where they were drafting, or the not leagues, the different players and where they're drafting. For anybody who's not in our league, and you can kind of get to know everybody a little bit. So somebody who is brand new to our league actually got the number one pick. We did a random. We randomized the draft order. So, and I don't know if he's going to keep this name or not. And I don't know if I'm going to say it right either. So that's the other thing too, guys. If you're in the league listening to this and you don't like how I am talking about your name, you maybe come up with a more creative name. That might be a little more helpful. just because, yeah, it's a little hard sometimes to understand and decipher people's names and stuff like that. So first off, I don't think he has changed it. It's still team something or other. He goes ANUPDS23. So Anubis. We'll call him Anubis. That's what we're going to call you for right now. We're going to call you Anubis. So Anubis was our first. He had a first overall pick. He's new to the league, so welcome. I hear he plays in a lot of money leagues, so I hope he did not do so well with the draft. We're going to find out. Next up, same from last year, co-winner, I guess you could say, Dion Hulse. His current team name looks like it's D-Hulse3, so I don't know if he's going to change his name either. Hopefully, it comes up with one. Last year, what was his name last year? I don't remember what it was, but something with Jalen Hurts. Hurts Donut, that's right. That's what I think it was, because he had Jalen Hurts. As you'll see going through this, some people started to change their names accordingly to be after players that they got, you know, in the league. It's kind of a fun way to go. Another new person in our league, Trademark. I think he kept his name. Let's double check here. I flip over the side. Oh, nope. He changed his name to Goffenheimer. I'll let you guys guess what QB he has. But yeah, Goffenheimer, a.k.a. Trademark. He's a new guy to our league. So welcome. Hopefully you do well. Just not as well as me. Next, we have number four. Picking number four was Jake Fitzy. And Jake Fitzy, let me look on here real quick. I flip back the results where I'm have up for sleeper didn't update people's names after they had changed. So I have to flip between two tabs to kind of see who it was. Jake Fitzy, he had kept his name as Team Fitz, Jake Fitzy. So I think that's Fitzgerald from last year. He auto drafted. Oh, by the way, Trademark, he also auto drafted. So Mr. Goffenheimer auto-drafted. I mean, did pretty well, honestly. But we'll get into everybody's personal ones coming up. So there's another player, Syrax, S-Y-R-A-X. Did he update his name? Flipping back over to the other tab here. He did. He changed his name to Catching Kelsey because he grabbed Travis Kelsey. And it's so ironic because I actually had that league name before we drafted, and then I changed it away to my new name, which we'll get to in a little while when we get to number 9. But yeah, Syrax is playing Catching Kelsey. Then we have Mr. Matt from, if you actually, another podcast, if you guys are listening and you want another one that's about football, we are not as regular as we'd like to be. But Matt, Jake, and I all have one called Around the Kingdom where we talk about Chiefs specific news and stuff. And so Matt is in this league. His draft name was MZ Matt Zacharias 95. And it looks like, did he change his name? Let's check here. Yes, he did. He's called Patty's Secret Formula. And again, we'll let you figure out who he got first overall pick. Then we got Jake Prosser. He is back as well, the league commissioner. He was picking at right in the middle here, number 7. Number 8 was a new member, J-R-I-N-F-I-D-E-L, J. Rindefell, which I have just recently found out is a guy who's been in the chat for a while named Juan. I don't know if I said that right, so you can let me know. Let's see if he changed his name in here on the afterwards, though. Where are you at? Oh, yep. He named his team Free Kamara. So I think he has an opinion on if Alvin Kamara should be released, which when we get to his team, it will make sense of why he said that for that situation. My name, I'm the next one, number 9, Michael Dewey. Last year I was Read 'em and Weep, but no longer that. I decided to go with a funny one, not based upon my team name, but I'm called Pangwangle. That's my team name, Pangwangle. And if you've ever been curious what that means, I would Google it, you know. Well, let me explain. You won't be in trouble. There won't be any issues if you search Pangwangle on Google. And you don't have to worry about your mom seeing what pops up or anything. But it means, it's an old-time phrase, it means remaining upbeat despite minor setbacks or problems. Because last year, as you probably remember, I was last place. So I'm just trying to be optimistic and just have fun, you know? That's kind of what fantasy football is. Just have fun with a bunch of guys who have similar interests. So that is my name. We're going to stick with it this year, Pangwangle. D. Soli, he was picking number 10. And let's see here, D. Soli, did you change your name? You did. Montenegro Mud Dogs, that is his name. He's the Montenegro Mud Dogs. I think I said that right. Apologies if I didn't. Then we got Vladdy Daddy. He's back again. That was his league name last year, was Vladdy Daddy. He changed it this year. I remember seeing it. Pulling it up here. Vladinator is the Vladinator. Arnold Vladinator. So we'll see how well he does. We'll get into it, but he kept stealing a few of my picks, which I was really not too happy about. And then I believe this is also a new member as well, J Money Mess. J Money Mess. Doug. Doug, you're Montenegro Mud Dog. Sorry. And Doug also stole a few of my people. Sorry. Doug, we're gonna have a talk later. But anyways, back at J Money Mess, you changed your name, I believe, to Gotta Love It. That's him. Gotta Love It. So yeah, that's kind of the new team. Gotta Love It. J Money Mess. He was the very last pick. Going through it, there's a lot of different strategies. A lot of different strategies. As if anybody doesn't know, we're a half point PPR. League, and we have two running backs, two wide receivers, and two flex positions. So the rosters are actually fairly big. So we probably will have a lot more high scoring games. But who knows? Because we have 12 people as well, some of those flex spots might be pretty low scoring type individuals. We'll have to see we'll see, have to see how it plays out and stuff. We'll kind of go over like the first few picks for each person. We'll maybe do the first two rounds, first maybe three rounds. We'll go through those real quick. And just kind of give my commentary of what was kind of going on with that. And then from there, I'll talk about what teams I think are strong, which ones are going to have a little struggling down the road potentially, and then go from there. So the first round was pretty straightforward. We had 2, 4, 6 wide receivers off the board. That'd be Justin Jefferson, number one, Jamar Chase, number two. Tyreek Hill went in the middle of the round. Cooper Kupp, ironically, even though with his injury, Doug was willing to jump in and take him. So we'll see how that pans out, hopefully well for you. I mean, if he fights the injury all year long, that's going to be a rough one for you. Stephon Diggs was picked up. And then Davante Adams. I was really surprised that Davante Adams went in the first round with the Raiders. Like, I don't know if he's got what it takes to be that number one guy, but, you know, like I said, everybody's got their own strategy, and I could very much so be wrong, because as we know, last year, I was wrong 90% of the time. So if you're listening to this, this is kind of like financial advice, not financial advice, meaning I'll give my advice. I would not suggest taking it, because it's odds are good, it's going to be bad and probably wrong. So that's kind of how the wide receivers panned out. We had only 4 running backs go with a 12-team league in the first round, which I thought was rather interesting. Christian McCaffrey went right away. Austin Eckler went right away. Bijan Robinson was the number 3. I was actually relatively surprised that Bijan Robinson went as high as he did. I think that he has the potential, obviously, to go there. But, yeah, Bijan Robinson. And then I grabbed Nick Chubb. So for me, I went with an RB1 first. I didn't really feel like taking the risk on Cooper Kupp, and I didn't really feel like Stephon Diggs was that much better than Chubb. And my general theory or my plan, and we'll see how it shakes out, was 12 teams, 2 RBs. I want, or two, yeah, 2 RB positions. I wanted to get as many running backs as I possibly could. Those are always hard to come by typically. I feel like I could always service together a decent wide receiver core, or there would be a few wide receivers who are going to show up later on. And the only times injuries or any times a running back will jump into relevancy is an injury. And hopefully by that point, I'll have a good waiver wire or something like that to be able to pick up that person if I need to. So that's kind of why I went with the high RB. There is a strategy called the zero RB strategy, where you don't go with running backs for the first like 3 or 4 rounds, and then just kind of go with anybody to kind of service it together. But with that, you'll usually have a really strong team. I don't think anybody did. The closest person, Jake, did a zero RB to, it looks like Matt did a zero RB through the third round, or the fourth round is when they grabbed somebody. Yeah, I would say Jake and Matt are the closest ones who did zero RB. And we'll find out as we go. I'll show you who their top running backs are later. And you can tell me if you think that it was a good strategy or not, depending. Obviously, we'll all pan out, and that's when we'll know, is the end of the year, not necessarily first weekend. But yeah, then outside of those wide receivers and running backs, we actually had 1 quarterback and 1 tight end go, ironically from the same team. Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes both went. All of my mock drafts that I was doing, I was finding that Travis Kelce was constantly landing on that number 9 spot for me. So I was actually expecting that I was probably going to be going with the Travis Kelce first draft pick kind of a thing around 9. And when it didn't come around, I was like, oh, shoot, now I don't know what to do. So yeah, that's why I went with the RB route. The second round, it really went kind of all over the place, but it went heavy on the wide receivers and fairly heavy on the running backs again. We did have 2 quarterbacks go, though, so total of 5 and 5 on the wide receivers and running backs. So starting with wide receivers, we had Amon St. Brown go. He was the first wide receiver in the second round to go off the board, followed by Jalen Waddle, followed by CeeDee Lamb, followed by Antonio Brown, and then Garrett Wilson. All of those wide receivers went off, and they weren't consecutive. I'm just choosing by category, by position right now. And then the running backs that went was Joe Mixon, which was the first. The first running back off was Joe Mixon. Second was Tony Pollard, which was my guy that I grabbed. Jacob, Josh Jacobs was next, Derrick Henry, and Saquon Barkley. I know a lot of people probably are wondering why I chose Tony Pollard over like Josh Jacobs or Henry or Barkley, because like, do I think they're going to have the whole workload and stuff? I genuinely think Tony Pollard is good, and I think that he's going to have the full workload as well, personally. But we'll see. We'll see. I worry about Jacobs because he's on a one-year deal. I worry about Henry because he's old. And Saquon Barkley, I feel like I worry if the offense isn't fully dynamic, if he can actually keep being productive. That's it. You know, I feel like the Cowboys have a semi-serviceable offense on a regular basis. And so I feel like Pollard's going to have more consistency. That was kind of why I chose that. So right now on my team, I have two running backs. Dion had two wide receivers. Everybody else was mixing positions by that point. And then swinging back around to the third round, that's when we went pretty heavy. So two, four, six wide receivers, three running backs, two quarterbacks, and one tight end. So yeah, by this point, people's rosters are starting to fill up and quarterbacks are really going pretty heavy, which I thought was rather interesting how, they're getting that heavy push so far. But yeah, I'm looking here at, looks like Chris Olave was wide receiver that went off the board, T Higgins, Deebo Samuel, and then, Deebo Samuel, where are we at? T Higgins, Deebo Samuel, there we go. D Smith for Philly. Keenan Allen and Ridley with Jacksonville, Calvin Ridley. So for me, I grabbed Keenan Allen as my wide receiver one. I was a little nervous about that because honestly, he is getting older. And so I wasn't sure if he's going to stay productive, but, I think if he's going to have one more year of productivity, it's going to be this year. It's pretty much like a do or die kind of thing for the Chargers. I think this year, I think if they don't do well this year, it's going to be a full clean house kind of thing. Like everybody's gone kind of a thing, but maybe I'm wrong. Again, don't take my advice. I'm obviously wrong many times. Running backs that went off, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and then, Ramondre Stevenson. Those were the three running backs that went off. So, I was really surprised with how few running backs went off that round, and we were still cranking out those wide receivers. So, I then went with the wide receiver to try to help balance it a little bit. But then switching back to the next round, we went pretty heavy running back, and that's where it bounced back. But finishing up in our current, that round three, we had the two quarterbacks went off, Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. And then the tight end, Mark Andrews, went off at that time. So looking at people's boards, so that's kind of how it kept shaking out. You know, there was a lot of quarterbacks going off. A lot of tight ends two tight ends were jumping off pretty heavily. So shaking out like a fairly normal league. Mine, though, was the one that was kind of weird. I would say I probably had the one that, as we were drafting, people kept saying, at least in our group chat, we're being like, hey, what's he doing? Like, what are you doing? You're going to need somebody. I didn't draft a quarterback until the 10th round. I went running backs and wide receivers all the way first nine, just straight. Like I said, I got Nick Chubb first, Pollard, Keenan Allen, and then I got Aaron Jones with the Packers, got Terry McLaurin with the Washington Commanders, Isaiah Pacheco with the Chiefs, Tyler Lockett, Michael Pittman, Robinson, I don't remember his first name, something Robinson, Brian Robinson, there we go, Brian Robinson. Those were all the guys I grabbed first. I feel like there's a lot of depth and a lot of value there, and I mean, the truth is even though I only have two RB spots and two flexes, I had one of those running backs is going to be on my bench, and the fact that by this point I'm looking over at other people's rosters, like C-Rex, what does C-Rex change his name to? Catching Kelsey. He ended the entire draft with three running backs, Bryce Hall, Jay Cook, and then he didn't draft another running back until the 14th round, where he got Devontae Foreman for Chicago. So, Catching Kelsey is going to be probably struggling a little bit, especially if there's an injury. If he gets one of those guys gets hurt, Or if there's like a depth chart change, you know, like Bryce Hall with the Jets, he's sharing his carries with Dalvin Cook, who's there. So if all of a sudden Dalvin Cook just takes over all of the carries, catching Kelce is going to be without a starting running back. And so I would say if I was him, I would potentially be trying to reset his situation and maybe reach out and trade one of his top people for a running back. Like, you know, if I was him, maybe I'd take his CeeDee Lamb. He has CeeDee Lamb wide receiver, and go to a team that might need a wide receiver, like maybe me, and just say, hey, I'll trade you CeeDee Lamb for Isaiah Pacheco, and just go across, you know, see if I'd be willing to buy it at that. Truth is, I would buy it at that. So if you're interested in doing a CeeDee Lamb for Isaiah Pacheco, you let me know. You know, maybe trying to get a little bit extra with it, knowing that you're losing a wide receiver. Say, hey, CeeDee Lamb, Isaiah Pacheco, and I'll take Michael Pittman from you, or something like that. You know, I worry a little bit for him. But again, who knows? We'll see how it all pans out. I would say the people who actually had a sneaky good draft is actually, where's his name? I want to make sure I get their league names and not their other ones. Goffenheimer. I think Goffenheimer had a really good draft. Even though he auto-drafted, I think he had a really good draft. He had Christian McCaffrey first round, Jalen Waddle, then T. Higgins, and then DK Metcalf. So he has a strong three wide receiver right there and a strong single lead running back. And then he got George Kittle for a tight end, who could be a fantastic tight end. Jerry Jeudy was a pick that I'm like, I don't know about that one. But, I mean, you have three other fantastic wide receivers, so it doesn't matter. Then he got Antonio Gibson. So this is the thing. This is the area where he potentially struggled the most, is his first pick was a running back. Didn't get another running back until round 7, in which he got Antonio Gibson, who last year was kind of struggling to get some time. The thing is when you look at the running back like depth chart, Antonio Gibson isn't even the top. He's not a starter or a second rounder. It looks like he might be number 3 right now. Again, according to Sleeper, which is really cool, by the way. One of those cool things with Sleeper is when you click on the player and you bring it up, it says latest news on the right, and you can scroll down, and it shows the depth chart of the team. So yeah, I can see who the starting QB is, backup QB, starting running back, backup QB, or backup running back, et cetera, all the way down. And Antonio Gibson is not actually even a starting running back. So I'm going to take that back. I actually don't think he actually did as well. The running back situation really screwed him over. So he might be somebody who wants to trade away a wide receiver, again, to somebody like myself, who really stacked as many running backs as he possibly could. Like, maybe I trade for him his running back that he wants. You know, Brian Robinson, who's the starter for Washington, instead of a Gibson, I could be like, hey, I'll go T. Higgins for that, or DK Metcalf for that, or something like that. I don't know. But the thing is I'm not going to give away running backs. It's almost just as much value for me to hold them so that other people don't have points going, kind of a situation. So yeah, I mean, let's try to find somebody who actually did a pretty balanced approach here. Honestly, Deion's always pretty good. So I'm going to Deion. You know, I'm not jumping around looking at anything else. I'm just going straight to Deion because I know he normally has a pretty strong. He has Ja'Marr Chase, great pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown, great pick. Najee Harris, probably a good consistent pick. His, but the problem is he never was a high boom player. Looking at his scores last year, he only had four games in double digits. Five, if you count a 10-point game as a double digit one. So that actually, I mean, that's kind of rough a little bit, but he could have a breakout game. Who knows? We'll see. Then he grabbed J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins is the starter. I think that is a sneaky good pick. I think he could potentially be moving and doing pretty well. This is where he swung for the fences, and it could pay off or it could kill him. His number 5, he got Jonathan Taylor, who is a fantastic running back, who's on the PUP, so he's not starting right away. But the thing is, if he can get the negotiation stuff figured out, or he gets traded to a team that is actually going to use him, that could be the steal of the draft right there. Could be over with that pick. He even got Deshaun Watson in the sixth round. I think that was a great play. I was actually going to try to grab him. I was thinking, and I was like, oh, okay, I think I just grabbed McLaurin, and I was like, okay, when it swings back around, I'm going to try to grab Trevor Lawrence. And then Trevor Lawrence went off, and I was like, shoot. So then I started jumbling around. I looked. It's like, you know, I don't think anybody's going to grab Deshaun Watson. I'll probably wait till swing back around again and grab him in the seventh. But no, Deion got him. And Deion also took my tight end I was thinking about grabbing around that same time, too, of Dallas Goedert. So, again, he's got really strong top-heavy players. But towards the end, he has a bunch of rough people, in my opinion. He grabbed a Detroit Lions tight end, which I thought was kind of interesting. Oh, wait, no. Cause I my bad. I was thinking Hockenson was still there at the Detroit Lions. So my bad. The person that he stole from me, besides Dallas Goedert, was actually Lazard as well in the 11th round. I was going to grab that one, but he got him before me. But yeah, I think he did a great job. I think he had a pretty solid team. One thing I'm really proud of everybody's teams here is everybody's team seems pretty well balanced. Like, it doesn't feel right now like anybody is going to be over the top good and one person over the top bad. Now, injuries happen. Success is different every year. So who knows what's going to actually happen, but it feels good. It feels like last year I was worried about my team from day one. So, this feels pretty good. Somebody else that I wanted to talk about was Vladdy Daddy. This is what happens when you, you're drafting for a while and then you leave and then it will automatically kick over to the auto draft. And what we found is, it has a situation where, it takes the highest player or something, because he drafted McPherson and then left. And then he was at the turn, or it went all the way around and came back, and it auto-drafted in Younghoe Koo, in which it went all the way around, and he got M. Gray, which is another kicker. So he went kicker, kicker, kicker three times in a row. I don't know, but luckily he came back later and was able to trade out those players, and so his actual roster now doesn't have that. But still, you got to watch out for those things. It's important to stick around as long as you can, all the way to the end, if possible. Because those auto draft situations, sometimes who knows what's going to happen. What happens sometimes, by the way, because I wanted to address this real quick for Deion, because he asked a question in the chat. We were wondering, we meaning myself, Jacob, Matt was in there, and Elijah was in there. And we were all talking and enjoying the draft stuff. And we noticed at the beginning that, like, sleeper, if somebody wasn't present in the draft, it didn't automatically flip them to quick drafts. And so we had to wait the whole minute and a half for them to do the pick. And we're like, this is really annoying. This is really annoying. This was taking a while. And it was a little bit later that we found that we as commissioners could click on that spot on that person and say CPU auto draft pick, auto pick. And so what we started doing is if they were not present in the draft, and you could tell because if you look by their name, it would have a green dot if they were actively there. Then if it came to them and it was ticking down, we would just do CPU auto. And we only did it in the last two rounds. We didn't do it at the middle in case there was something we were learning. We were really kind of very cautious of, like, paying attention to what was going on. Understanding the new format, new layout, new system, and all that kind of stuff. And there was definitely, what was his name? Goffenheimer was auto-drafting, and then Jake Fitzy, did he change his name? I don't think he changed his name. Jake Fitzy was also auto-drafting near the end as well. So those two, that's why at the end when we came around, people were like, hey, we got to get going. So we would just, when it got there for those two people, they weren't in there. There's no green dot. They had been auto-drafting pretty much the entire time or the whole second half. So we would just CPU, and moved them forward. Now, next year, we can talk about if that shouldn't be allowed or we shouldn't do that. But that is what we did for that time. I don't think it was anything that bad because it seemed to pretty much assign it correctly for every person. So you take like the top player or of need. So like, for example, when we did it for Goffenheimer, he didn't have a kicker yet, and the auto draft gave him the best kicker that was currently on the board. Now with Jake Fitzy, he had every position filled, so that gave him a wide receiver that, you know, I don't know if it's a good one. Jalen Hyatt, he's a rookie. We'll find out. So that's kind of the reason of why we did that. Sometimes we wanted to keep it moving. We're going to look through the settings and see if we can figure out a way to make that happen faster or easier next time. It seemed kind of a hit and miss too, because sometimes it would just go boop, 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 boop when they were auto picking. But then other times later on the draft, it didn't. So maybe if like somebody logs in once and sees that it's drafting and leaves, maybe that resets that minute and a half piece. I don't know. But yeah, we'll kind of assess it. Nothing seems to be done that was bad. If anybody has any issues with it, obviously let us know in the Discord. We can talk about it and try to get it, you know, rectified. But we figured the last two picks, those are people that probably are going to get swapped out here anyway after week one for you, that it was worth testing and trying and seeing how it went. So, with that being said, I'll just go over real quick. There's some changes because I'm now projected to win. Oh, shoot. We'll go over week one real quick, matchups, and see how it goes. Week one, myself, Peng Wangle. I'm going up against Maddie's secret formula, and currently I have 51% of the chance to win, and he has 49. I'm curious what he changed in his lineup because of that. But yeah, that's currently the situation with it. I'm projected to win. I don't know. I'm hopeful. We'll see. Next up, we got Montanega's Mud Dogs and Team Jake Fitzy. We'll see if he changes his name or not. They're going up against each other. This currently is the biggest, second biggest, or tied for the biggest lopsided game. Team Fitzy, Jake Fitzy, is projected to win by 54%, and Montanega Mud Dogs is only 46%. So we'll see if that sticks around. Next, Jake. Oh, I didn't give Jake's new name. Jake's new name is, it's Joever for you. So like it's over for you, I think. But he has Joe Burrow, so that's with the Joe. So it's Joe Over for you. He's going up against the Vladinator. I'm going to have a lot of fun doing that. But this is another one that is actually, you know, looks more lopsided. The Vladinator is currently planning to win, or currently scheduled to win, at 53%. And it's Joe Over for you is 47%. Next matchup, you got Team Hulse, Dion, versus Gotta Love It. They're at 50-50. So right in the line there, 50-50 chance. Who knows? Who knows who's going to win that one? Next up, we got Free Karma versus Goffenheimer. I got to watch that movie. You got to let me know if it's a good movie, Juan, or not. Wait, no. Is that Juan? No, that's not Juan. I don't know who that is. No, wait. Juan is Free Karma. Anyways, Goffenheimer. You'll have to let me know if the movie Offenheimer is actually a good one. I almost went to go see it last night. Then I saw it was 3 hours long, and I said, nah, I don't want to stay up that late. I'm old. Anyways, that's a 50-50 chance, so that's pretty evenly split. And then the final matchup for the week, we got Catchin' Kelsey with an awesome picture of Travis Kelsey in the movie, or in the show, against Team Anubis. Again, we're going to call him Team Anubis until he changes his name. That one is actually fairly lopsided. I don't know if it's right, though, but it says Catchin' Kelsey is going to win by 54%, and Team Anubis is at 46%. So, anyways, we'll see how this week goes. I hope you all have a great rest of your week. It is going to be Monday tomorrow, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 more days until football, guys. So, enjoy your week, and good luck on your jumps. Bye.